Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
Yes. We mentioned last week that the purpose of Southwest Baptist Church is to direct people to the glory of God. How many believe that's a great purpose?
Amen.
But how many of you think, well, how exactly do I go about directing people to the glory of God? As we put together the how, we thought about three words from Ephesians chapter 4. And the first word that we are going to see is this word today, equip. And we are going to look at it through the lens of mothers training up their children. But the reality is you and I all know we need to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Paul told the church at Ephesus that he gave some pastors and some apostles and some teachers and some prophets for the equipping or the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Each one of us here who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation has a ministry that God has called them to. Today we specifically celebrate the ministry of motherhood, and so moms need to be equipped so that they can take then what they have learned from God so that they can train up another generation to have the right perspective from the Word of God. And so we're looking at this idea, the way that you and I are going to reach our community and direct it to the glory of God is one by being equipped for what God has called us to do and then equipping others as we go out into the ministry. So if you're there in 3 John, we're going to read the first 4 verses. And it says this, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Would you follow with me? You can look on the screen, if you will, at verse 4. But would you say verse 4 out loud with me? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We see this statement here from John, really talking as a father in the faith, but I believe there are a lot of mothers here that would wholeheartedly repeat those words as they hear the testimony coming from other people that they walk in truth. If you were to look over the landscape of America today, what we could say is there are a lot of things that bring joy to the heart of people. Someone might say freedom. As we see freedom marches, or we hear repeatedly about the freedom of speech that we are granted in our society. You might even have a child say, I like freedom, getting freedom from my parents' rules almost every day. However, they quickly realize when they get out from those parents' rules how great those rules were and how little they really wanted from that freedom. But others might say financial prosperity. Somebody might say human rights or physical health. There's a lot of things in America today that we hear in our everyday conversations that are important to the lives of those that are talking about how they might have joy. May I suggest to us this morning that as women, as a mom, as a parent, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there is really no greater joy than the joy John speaks about here in 3 John chapter 4, as he hears that his children walk in truth. Aaron and I were working at a job yesterday, and I was nailing down some grass on this section of this man's yard, and you know, I've been working many hours at his house, and my boss decided that he would come and help us work to try and get the job done yesterday, and this gentleman whose yard we were working on came out, and he said, man, talking about me, and I don't say this to brag, just let me get to the point, okay? He said, man, if I had a couple guys like him working for me, I'd be a millionaire. And I love that statement simply because I had just had a conversation with my boss over some difficult things that were happening in my job. And I had just said, because I'm a believer in Christ, my work ethic will shut the mouths of every person who's complaining. And then this guy came up and he said this, and my boss kind of was startled at the same time. I said, you know, I just want you to know, I appreciate you as my boss, but I have a greater boss that I'm working for than you. There's no greater joy for a parent if they were to hear that testimony come from somebody else, that they walk in truth. And you and I can find great joy as we walk in truth and as others that we try to lead to Christ and come to Christ, they walk in truth, as our children walk in truth. And so as we look at 3 John and specifically verses 3 and 4, through this introduction and then the first two points, I want to drive us to this powerful impact of walking in truth so that you and I can see how truth can impact our daily lives and bring joy to our lives, but also to the ones who love us the most around us. As we think about this word truth this morning, we do have to admit that every generation has had its struggle to know how to walk in truth. It's become so bad today in America that we have perceived truth that can be a truth to someone, but a complete lie to somebody else. I'm sure, like myself, for the majority of you, you have realized that the economy has started to pinch your pocketbook. You're realizing that things weren't or not as great anymore as they used to be, at least in these days. And yet there is a group of people who are peddling this truth that we are at the greatest state in American economy. See, it's a perceived truth from multi-billionaires who have no influence of inflation. They think they're doing what is right, and so many other people see the truth of what is actually happening. We find other people who have this perceived truth that it can be their truth, that they're going to live by their truth, but it is a complete lie to someone else. We have this idea that you just need to live out your truth and all things are going to work out for your good. But we recognize because of this perceived truth in America today, we have a government that is attempting to create an organization that polices truth, yet that same government cannot define a woman that screams for their perceived truth that a baby has no right to life in the womb of its mother and believes that spending money way beyond its own ability will bring financial prosperity. And I simply want us to understand this morning that there has to be a truth that is far greater than perceived truth based on human opinion. And that's what mothers who are born again, Bible-believing Christians should desire to transition from their life into others. That's the desire that John had, to take the truth that God had given to them, to him, and implant it into the lives that God had allowed him to influence. So you find this morning, for the majority of us in this room, we would struggle to agree with any of the statements that I had previously just made about some human truth according to our understanding of biblical truth. So If truth is such a great divide, we do have to begin to understand what is truth. Jesus was asked this question that we must continually find out from God what truth is as well. If we don't understand what truth is, how are we to find joy in truth? I would suggest to us that we have to at least start with what a definition of truth is. God has given someone the understanding to define words, and Webster gave us this definition of the word truth by saying, truth is the body of real things, events, or facts. It's what is actually happening around us. He said, secondly, the state of being, the case. So truth is the very fact of what is right and wrong. Now, although these definitions give us a decent idea of what is truth, we can still live within the framework of perceived truth. We can see, though, a little more clarity as we come to the Word of God, and we recognize that God uses this word truth thousands of times in the Word of God. We see right there in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, this word truth used, and this word in the Hebrew gives us the idea of stability, of certainty, of something that we can be assured of, that is faithful to the giver of truth, that is right, that is sure. And as we move into the New Testament and we come to the book of Matthew, we see this word truth used again, and the Greek adds to this idea the strength of verity, or something that is upright, or something that does not have to be hid. You see, as you think about some of the subjects that I've just briefly mentioned in our governmenting or our governing bodies, you see that they have to hide facts and principles so that they can make their words seem true to the greater population of listening that are listening to it. I just heard of statistics that were given. But you know, as people throw out statistics that don't really benefit, or that they try to make benefit their ideologies, they don't really give you the whole scope of that statistic. They bend that statistic to make it fit their ideology. But what they're doing is they're hiding, because they can't allow the whole truth. They can't allow what is faithful to that whole statement come out. Otherwise, it is going to negate what they are trying to prove. And so John tells us, as he gives us this word truth, that it brings joy. And so we have to understand what that joy attached to that truth is. I would suggest to us then this morning that if we are going to truly have joy, as John does, we have to move people from perceived truth to positional truth. And so what does that mean? That means that people have this perceived truth because their hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Someone said the other day, when you attach money to any subject, you attach the human heart and the ability to manipulate that subject for financial gain. And so what we have to do, and all those that we interact with and bring this subject to its source, is we interact with them to bring them to truth, to biblical authority. And so what you and I can do is tie biblical authority to historical accuracy, and we can see that the source of truth is God. The writer of the book of Hebrews declares this principle in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong delusion. We understand that opposed to that is the author of confusion, Satan, who is the father of all lies. And so we see that there is one who tries to manipulate truth just enough to make it seem real, and yet the whole time they are engaging in a lie. And on the other side, we have God who cannot lie. And so we begin to understand, as God is the creator of all things, he creates in truth. And so what that means is that if you and I are to walk in truth and to have joy because others we love walk in truth, we have to be willing to bring them to God and allow Him to change their heart through Christ. You see, every man, woman, child is born into life in sin. Their heart is desperately wicked and deceitful, and it begins to convince them that longer they are apart from God, that they are living in their truth, and we need to bring them to the truth of God. I was talking with somebody this week, and we were reminiscing about some teaching that we had heard years ago about sharing our faith, and I always loved the way this individual would bring people to Christ. He said, you always ask questions instead of accusations. And he would say, have you ever told a lie? And of course, a lot of people would say, no, I've never told a lie. And you know right then they're lying, right? And then they'll try to convince themselves, well, it's just a little white lie, right? They'll even tell you, well, it's just a little white lie, trying to make it seem better. And you simply can say, so if you have told a lie, what does that make you? It makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Oh, no, I wouldn't steal anything. You ever mistakenly took a pencil or a pen from work and put it in your pocket and didn't return it? Well, you stole it. What does that make you? It makes you a thief. Have you ever committed adultery? Whoa, man, that's personal. That's you know, way out of the bounds. I've never slept with another man or woman outside the bonds of marriage. And you simply say, well, you know, Jesus said if you look with a woman lust, you've committed adultery in your heart already. Have you ever looked with lust? Well, sure I have. And so what does that make you? It makes you an adulterer. And then you simply can say, so by your own admission, you are a lying thief and adulterer at heart. And they're like, well, hold on here. What just happened? And the truth of what they had been trying to suppress for years, because everybody has been patting them on the back. You're financially successful. You're a great businessman. All of a sudden, that is all torn down, and they've been brought under the authority of God and realized that they have fallen very short of the glory of God. And they're brought to that realization that they need to come to the truth of God, that yes, God is going to judge that sin, and yet He already has through Jesus Christ. And they can be brought to that truth that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him, the liar, the thief, the adulterer, could be saved through Jesus Christ. What a great truth to be brought to. And that truth that they would then have to turn from their sin to Jesus Christ. Why? It is because God is the author of truth. And no matter how much we press back against it, we are going to all stand. Actually, the Bible says this, all people will kneel before God one day and give an account. And we are going to stand with what we have done with Jesus Christ. Did we accept the truth that God had sent, that said that He had sent His Son to die for our sins? Or did we reject it? And so we see that truth. And what we find then is Jesus would pray in John 17:17, sanctify, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so the word of God begins to establish the fact that God is truth, and God has given us His truth so that we might know the truth. And as believers in Christ then, we have the ability to look to the source of truth, who is God, and His word, and know that someone is walking in truth or working against truth. It's that way that you can have this testimony, man, that person is walking in truth, and we can have joy because we hear the testimony based on the word of God. As a believer in Christ, as we see that person walking in truth or working in against truth, we have, like the psalmist, the ability to understand the emphasis here that the truth is available right from the very beginning. As he said, thy word is true. Think about this. God's word is faithful. It is right. It is sure from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. How many of you are thankful that a book that was finally completed some 2,000 years ago is still faithful and true for 2022, so you and I can know what is truth and base our lives around it. And then as mothers, teach that to the next generation. As long as God tarries to leave us here on this earth, we can know the truth that has been true from the beginning. What we have to do then is regularly come to and filter our activity through God's word. Paul would challenge Timothy to do this very thing, as he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, put some effort into knowing to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Think about that. A workman that has absolutely nothing to hide before man and before God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as a disciple, as a child puts the effort into really knowing what God has to say to them for their everyday lives, they truly get to walk in freedom, knowing that they are making every decision based on the truth from the word of God that is given by the Creator God for his creation, so that they can walk in that right relationship with him. John tells us in chapter 8, verse 31, he emphasizes this principle, and he helps us as Jesus said this to the Jews who believed on him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom based on perceived truth will always lead you to bondage. But freedom based on positional truth in Christ will always lead to the freedom God designed us to live in from the very beginning. So, because every one of us has to move from perceived truth to positional truth, and as we do, we can find so much joy in the freedom and the security as we come to that knowledge of the truth, but then we know that we have to interact every day with individuals who are living in this perceived truth. And how many of you recognize there seems to be some new perceived truth every single day we wake up? It's staggering today. But think about this as we are constantly having to walk with the Lord. God gives us this opportunity, like the psalmist in Psalm chapter 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. How many of you have come to the Lord this week and said, I just need to know what is truth with what's going on around me? I hear a lot of things, but God, I just need to know the truth. God, my kids are asking me all kinds of crazy questions. God, you know you've given me four kids that just can't ask me the same question each week. I've got to get four different questions this week. God, teach me your truth, O Lord. And as we learn from God, we can make this strong statement or strong commitment. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So John says, there's no greater joy that I know that my children walk in truth. So I know that's a tremendously long introduction. And we're going to move through these three points fairly quickly. But you and I have to establish, if you and I are going to have true joy given by God that is unspeakable and full of glory, it has to rest in the positional truth of God and not some perceived truth of man. We have to establish that. So if you and I are going to walk in truth, and you and I are going to then share that truth, we have to have that truth foundational, or as the foundation of these three thoughts. Notice, first of all, this first thought, a continual progression. Third John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children, what's it say? Walk. There's a progression of movement that John is talking about here. And he says two times, one in verse 3 and one in verse 4, that if we are to be filled with joy every day, it has to come from walking in truth. It has to come from watching or hearing that those we love are walking in truth. And so you see a forward motion here. Now, as I thought about the idea of forward motion, I thought about that first rebuttal. Well, yeah, you know, you can work on a treadmill, or you can walk on a treadmill and get nowhere. You know, there's a lot of people walking on the treadmills of life that think they're walking in truth, and they're just standing still in their sin. You and I, when we come to Christ, are given this ability to get off that treadmill and walk forward and progress in our walk with God. Now, tie truth and this progression of continually learning truth to John's desire from verse 2. Look at verse 2 as he talks about what? Prosperity and health. What we realize then is that when we wake up on a Sunday and we consciously make the decision to go to church so that we can learn from God and be equipped from the Word of God and from the worship of God through song and giving and coming to His Word, that we can find prosperity in our spiritual growth because we are being equipped to walk in truth. Sunday's a great day, isn't it? But how many of you know that there is that Monday, right? That weekend has gone way too fast. And all that free time that we had is now gone. We get up and there's that Monday. And yet we can make that decision to walk into work so that we might prosper financially, or we might walk in work and we might prosper functionally in the home, or we might walk into work of school and see that we are having we're setting up a future prosperity from the truth that we have learned. You get through that Monday finally, and what happens? You wake up again and it's Tuesday, and you have to walk again in truth. You walk with your spouse. You walk with your disciple. You walk with some family member, and you find some kind of prosperity because you've walked in truth. And then you go to sleep, and you sleep with ease to only realize that there is a Wednesday. And you have to get up and you have to walk all over again. You have to make another choice. Maybe go to some city council meeting because there's some decision about some public policy that's going to impact the city you live in, that's going to affect the way the Christian culture lives and interacts with your city. And you are able to put that behind you because you engaged in this walk of truth, and you go to sleep and you're wore out and you recognize that there's now a Thursday. How many understand where we're going? It's a continual walk. And you get to Saturday and it's the weekend and everything just is so amazing. You find your ability to walk in the truth of God and take some rest, and you're out on the boat and you're just relaxing on the lake and you're sitting with your feet in the water on the beach, and it's just euphoria. You've walked all week and you just are fully rested, and you go to sleep, and what do you realize? It's Sunday. I want you to understand it's a continual walk. And the reality is, as we talked a little bit about in the morning Bible study, there could come a point, if we're not careful to walk in truth, that we just say, I can't do it anymore. And as God's children, He doesn't want us to come to this point. And so He's given us the truth of the Word of God. And so we need to continually come back to God and say, teach me thy truth, that I might walk in truth. You think about this. It's not only a continual walk daily, it's continual walk generationally, right? How many of you get a little, or how many of you got a little terrified on your first child, and you thought, well, my child is like 3.5 weeks old, they should be walking by now, right? And you get a little terrified that they're not going to walk. And all of a sudden, you get to the reality of the creation of God, and at whatever point it is, they're walking. They didn't stay crawling, they grew up. And you come to that point, you're a teenager, and you're given some freedoms now to make some decisions, and you don't think they're dumb, but you become a young adult, and you're like, whoo, those were some dumb decisions I made as a teenager, right? Because you walked, you progressed, you grew in truth, and you make that choice as an adult to get married, and you're living in that euphoria of marriage. It's exciting, and day two happens. It's okay, maybe none of you are like me. I'm just kidding. You get through that honeymoon, right? And you realize you got to continue to walk through that marriage. There's some difficulties that you've got to grow through. And maybe that first difficulty of that first child, right? No sleep. More money going out to all kinds of other things. And you need to walk. And you just see this progression. How many of you as grandparents think that you move from parenthood to grandparenthood, right? And you get to engage with your children, your grandchildren, and you get to love on them and have great times with them, and you get to send them home and let your parents or their parents not sleep at night, right? You just realize that God has created this life as a progression, and we need to teach people to continually walk in truth. It's not just a day. It's not just a year of life. It's a whole progression that God calls us to have a testimony where they walked in truth. Notice real quickly the choice of emotion. John says there's no greater joy. John speaks about joy here in 3 John, and he has joy because his children, his spiritual children, have walked in truth. I want to challenge you young people that you have a choice to breed joy in your home. You have a choice, and you make the choice every day whether you are going to walk in truth. You are going to walk in the truths of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given you. You have the choice to walk in the truth of God and honor and breed joy as you follow the leadership of your parents. You have the choice to walk in the truth of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is right for you to breed joy in your homes. I always laughed at this statement that Christy would make to our kids. She would say, obey the first time with a happy heart. How many parents had to reiterate, you know, I want you to obey, but I want you to do it with a happy heart. We understand kids can obey a lot of things with a very big chip on their shoulders. How many of you have realized that a chip on your shoulder doesn't breed joy in obedience? I remember a time years ago, I grew up in the age of corner standing. Anybody grew up in that age? Your parents forced you to go stand in the corner and think about what you did wrong? I was a very problematic child in my home, I will admit that, and I was a chip on the shoulder kind of child. My parents would send me to the corner, and one time I was standing in the corner, and I, under my breath, I thought, said, I might be standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. How many of you realize there's no joy being bred in that home when you are a child with a chip on your shoulder? You have a choice to walk in truth. Can I challenge us as parents, though? We have the choice of joy. How many of you know children, unfortunately, can be a joy stealer, right? But do you realize that we make the choice to allow them to steal our joy? Because although we get joy that they walk in truth, do you realize your joy doesn't come from your children essentially? It comes from God, your Father. And you and I have a choice on how we react to that child who is standing on the outside and sitting on the inside. You and I have the choice on how we are going to react and interact with the daily difficulties of our life. Let me say this to us as who are older. We have this choice to choose joy. We can choose joy in how we teach. We can choose joy in how we simply hang out with others, as we might say. We can choose joy as we deal with the discouragements of standing on the outside and sitting on the inside, even as parents. We can choose joy when it's mac and cheese for dinner, or we can choose joy when it's a big, fat, juicy steak. And how many of you realize that you are impacting the younger generation behind you on how you too choose joy? If your children always see negative Nanny or negative Nelly, how are they going to find joy if you yourself are not walking in truth? As my wife and I traveled early on in our marriage on deputation, we were told of this simple fact that there is enough protein in macaroni and cheese to help you survive for years. Anybody understand you're still alive because of mac and cheese? You know, we can share those funny ideas and stuff, but how many of you can help your children realize they can have joy with absolutely nothing financially, just as much as they can have with great financial prosperity? But that's you who breeds that joy in truth through truth into their lives. And so you and I need to choose joy. It's a choice of an emotion. But we're out of time. Let's look real quickly at this interaction, the impact of continually walking in truth. 2 Peter, we've tied everything. I hope you understand. Truth is tied to the Word of God. That is positional truth that has stayed foundational and sure from the very beginning. So if that statement is true, and I believe it is, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as its divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You often understand that perceived truth is based solely on lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. By God's grace, he saved us from perceived truth and brought us into positional truth, where we could come to the truth of the Word of God and base all our life on what God has given to us. And he has given to us everything you and I need for life and godliness. So we don't have time to go through it. But if you think about Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, you find four great big ways that we can see the impact of truth in our everyday lives. Now, let me just read a couple of verses for you. Chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See that you walk circumspectly, upright, in good standing, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he lays this out. You've been brought from darkness to light. You've been brought from perceived truth that is unwise to real positional truth that is wise. You've been given the ability to walk in the light. Now, you and I might say, I just don't understand how people can be so crazy with the things that they are saying. Do you want to know how they can be so crazy with the things that they're saying? Because they're perceiving this world in darkness. That's it. They don't have the truth and the light of the Word of God that he has so graciously given to us. That is why it's so vitally important that we train up the next generation. That's so vitally important why we share the truth of the Word of God with our community, because they are walking in darkness. You want to stop being frustrated with the world? Give them the gospel. And they can walk in the light of the Word of God. So you see four things. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, you want to see the impact of truth in your everyday life? Wives, follow the truth of the Word of God. Submit yourselves unto your husbands. There's so much truth here. Husbands, he goes on to husbands. Husbands, do you want to have no greater joy than to see that you walk in truth, or that your children walk in truth? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Make those choices every day to walk in Christ and love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, number three, Obey your parents. And you notice we're talking about prosperity. This promise, or this command of God, was the first with promise. There is a promise that God gives to you of a long life if you will walk in obedience to your parents. Number four, that relationship between worker and boss, boss to worker. You want to see this play out in your everyday lives? Just think about your relationships with one another. How are they impacted as you walk in truth, or as you walk in the lies that we might perceive are truth? You can see this play out, and this could be, it's a whole nother sermon, a series, but you think about every relationship we have has an impact for joy, and it all comes down to, are we walking in truth? You and I can have a great impact in this world if we will walk in truth. So think about this. You and I have been called to train up a generation of truth seekers and truth walkers. So I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you don't have a child in the home physically, but you might be able to go out and be a part of bringing someone into the family of God spiritually, and they can become your child, like John was talking about of Gaius. And you can make the choice to impact the next generation with truth so they don't get caught up in all the world's ministry of disinformation. We've been given the opportunity for joy, but this world is going to throw everything at us that is going to try and steal our joy. So don't let the lies of the world or the disobedience found in your heart, in every human heart, to steal your joy. But be a joy influencer, because you are being continually filled with the joy of your salvation. Lastly, praise those who walk in truth. I was thinking about this week, and it's probably one of the greatest struggles and greatest failures that I have as a father. I know it's not Father's Day, but maybe you can understand. Complimenting my children is something that I think I've struggled with from day one. But I thought about it. Christy was telling me about Elijah coming home, and just how he had finished out his semester and how many credit hours he had taken this year, and his GPA when he is finished. And I thought to myself, you know, I want my first statement to be him to say, well done. Way to put in the effort. Way to walk in truth. Way to be a testimony. I showed Christy a letter that we got from West Coast just the other day, thanking me as a pastor. I guess I forgot I was his dad, but hey, I'll take it as a pastor and as a parent, about the influence that we had in his life and what a representation he was to the ministry that we had. And I thought, there's the testimony of an individual walking in truth. There is no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. Find someone to compliment this week, and just compliment them that they're walking in truth. They introduce you and say, hey, my name is Rob. I am a father. Say, hey, I want you to know I am so thankful that your pronoun is father. Amen. Walk in truth. I'm not trying to get mean here, but be thankful that people are still willing to say that they're a man and that they're a woman. They're walking in truth. Compliment them for that. Compliment. Write a letter to some political leader who's willing to stand against the lies of this thing and fight for us as the people of this country. Compliment people who are willing to walk in truth. Compliment somebody who's been a part of your life as a spiritual brother or sister in Christ. You've seen somehow that they've been walking in truth. Send out a compliment that it would encourage them that you are filled with joy because you have heard, you have seen that they are walking in truth. I want you to think about that impact. Think about the impact that would happen in 2022 in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, if Southwest Baptist Church chose to walk in truth. Individually, we personally walk in truth. You and I individually, personally choose joy because we've been equipped by the Word of God. And then those that are around us are so filled with excitement and joy because somebody complimented them on what they were doing as they walked in truth. I believe it would change the dynamic of Lake Havasu City greatly. There's a lot of things out there that are lies that we need to face every day, but you and I need to come face to face with the truth of the Word of God so we can be individuals every day, every month, every year, every generation of our life, we can go and we can find ourselves walking in truth and having the joy of the Lord that He has offered through salvation. I wonder this morning, did you walk in with joy? Did you walk in as a bearer of the truth? If not, I hope that you've been encouraged to come back to the Word of God and find the truth. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with the truth that God would send somebody to die for your sins. Maybe you're struggling with the fact that you're even a sinner. I would encourage you, I'd love to talk to you. If you want to talk about it a little bit more, you want to yell at me and ridicule me, I'll take yelling and ridicule. We'll have a discussion about it. I just want you to know that God has loved you enough to send your son. I'm not going to argue with you. I'll just simply share the love of God with you so that you can too know that Jesus Christ loved you enough to save you from your sins, so that one day you could spend eternity with Him in heaven, but that you today could walk in truth. We're going to say,
hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.